New Living Translation. Reads for 1 Peter 4, "The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen." Today we're going to talk about being renewed in our stewardship and service. And as I have heard many sermons, I always get a little nervous when I hear a pastor mention stewardship, because it usually means money, right? After hearing a message, one fellow came up to his pastor and said, "Pastor, I don't like it when you talk about money. Today you went from preaching to meddling." Friends, our view of stewardship is so limited, because stewardship and managing our lives with God's help also includes our time and our talents and gifts. Think about it. Every one of us in this room has time, the same amount of time. We have 365 days a year. We have 168 hours a week. We have 1,440 seconds a day. Time is God's gift, and we all get an equal amount. When we talk about talents, we may think about a natural affinity in our work, or maybe a hobby, maybe loving music or various things. But we're going to talk more about gifts in a moment. But as we've sung this morning, all that we have been given by God are our gifts to develop for him. So remember this today. Renewing our stewardship renews our service. One of the byproducts of the pandemic happens every week, and that is our Sunday offering. We can put it in the box. We have been given the opportunity to do that online. But I have to tell you, I do miss the offering plate as it came by, as a tangible way to give in God's presence among God's people. One Sunday, little Johnny's dad was passing the offering plate, and Johnny stopped him. He looked at his dad and he said, "Aren't we supposed to give everything to God?" everything that we have? And the dad said, of course. Well, Dad, could you put the offering plate on the floor so I can step in, because I want to give everything I have to God? I think that is what Peter had in mind, don't you? As he exhorts believers to pray and to love one another, to show hospitality, to exercise gifts. When I realize, when I fully grasp all that I have is God's and comes from Him, it transforms my perspective of time, of talents, of treasure, so that I can give freely and serve Him and others freely. So, actually, in light of this, Peter is exhorting us, and he's giving us four commands in these verses. Not options, but commands that we are to be and to do as God's people. And so, first of all, is this, that we are renewed in our perspective of prayer. Peter calls us to pray, and his first bit of advice is for us to be mentally and spiritually alert. Be clear-minded, self-controlled, so you can pray. Be aware with the goal of having an effective prayer relationship with God. Peter has talked about alertness in relationships between spouses and an obedient community, but now he is speaking to us as the church. It is the very basis for our Christian life, isn't it? It is our breath in relationship. And that secret is to maintain the kind of balance and calmness in prayer. So, when something is alarming, what do we do? Pray. When current events confuse you, pray. If the world looks like it's spinning out of control, pray. In fact, prayer is what sharpens our awareness so we're able to be more discerning, giving us genuine hope and confidence in Christ in the midst of confusion. Anybody here ever panicked? Panic pushes us to prayer, doesn't it? God wants us to be proactive, not reactive, as we pray. That's the first command. Pray. The second one, I like to say we are renewed and fueled by divine love. One of the core values in this entire letter that Peter speaks of is love. And now he's bringing it to the very top. Peter is saying when the church is threatened by persecution and takes comfort in the coming end of history because God will judge justly, the same church is strengthened in faith by relating to one another in love. And it's that divine agape love that Peter is talking about. That love that's the gift. The love that I can't generate in myself, but God gives freely. Earlier, Peter says that we should love, we can love one another deeply. And that we are to work at loving one another because doing so in the midst of stress is difficult. In our family, in our business, even social relationships, we tend to be afraid. It's like the mom who had a bad day, holding her kids, looked at her daughter and said, "I have one nerve left and you're on it." Peter urges his readers to love one another with great effort. It takes energy. It takes work. Loving one another when things are tough is crucial because love covers a multitude of sins. The community that loves one another is able to forgive one another more rapidly when minor issues arise. Peter sat at Jesus' feet and heard him describe what was coming with this phrase, "Many people's love will grow cold." And Paul reminded Timothy in the last days, people will be lovers of self. And so Peter turns this around, reverses this frigid self-love. And in contrast, believers are asked to have fervent love directed to each other. And then he quotes Proverbs 10:12, which is a practical manifestation of this love. When Solomon says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions." This idea of being fervent in love, literally in the original, means strained. Used figuratively for being intent or determined. If you have ever been a runner or watched a runner as they strain to reach the finish line, that's the kind of fervency, because we need each other desperately, don't we? We are renewed and fueled by God's divine love. The next command is this, that our renewal creates an atmosphere of welcome and care. He said, be hospitable to each other. Now, I think we all agree that being hospitable is a really nice idea. As long as we get to define what it looks like. We invite people into our homes and make appropriate adjustments as willing hosts within limits, right? But Peter is talking about loving one another in the broadest sense here. To fervently love those who need our forgiveness, those who have wronged us. And he uses one another later to refer to the larger body of Christ, whom we are to serve with our spiritual gifts. Hospitality is a specific example of loving one another, caring for each other, providing a place of welcome and fellowship and acceptance. But Peter knows this, and he could be speaking to me. That I can be much better at conforming externally than allowing that to seep into my heart and change me from the inside out. Oh, and then he tacks on another phrase. Be hospitable. That's the hard one. Without complaint. Being truly hospitable can cost us, can it? It costs us money. It costs us time. It can be inconvenient and even become frustrating. And so Peter invites us to have a positive attitude in being hospitable. One that flows from fervent love and prayerful hope. It was the very foundation, one of the foundations of how the church developed and emerged in Acts. But even before Jesus sent out the 12, they were to find places to stay that offered hospitality. And when he needed a place for the Last Supper, he assumed a place of hospitality would be found. And the early church's practice of celebrating the Lord's Supper together is rooted in Jesus eating with his disciples. So the early church regularly expressed this divine love for one another within the context of hospitality. Hospitality extends into care. And I want you to know how Jean and I have been cared for in the past 2.5 years during this cancer journey. Thank you. Thank you for loving on us. Thank you for being there. And I know that there are many others that could say the same thing. But that is the extension of hospitality, isn't it? The last command is this: being renewed multiplies God's gifts among us in serving others. That is awesome. When we love each other, we can serve each other, help each other. Peter touches on spiritual gifts, and there's a lot of Paul's writings that talk about spiritual gifts. But as the early church developed, they recognized that the Holy Spirit had come and landed on people and given gifts for ministry and service. And friends, the good news is that hasn't stopped. That continues today, doesn't it? As we open our hearts to Christ and allow Him to show us those gifts that we can give to build up the body of Christ. It's about service. It's not about receiving these gifts from God to make us feel better about ourselves or boost our ego or serve our own interest or agenda. Gifts are investments that God has made in each of us as His body to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, that word manifold is interesting because it means many-colored. And it implies a great variety of giftedness within the Christian community. So Peter is encouraging his readers to be responsible with those unique giftings God has given each of them. And he selects two representative gifts of these broad variety, a speaking gift and a serving gift. And the point is that we should treat our giftedness as a unique responsibility and privilege, relying on God's strength and never forgetting the message that we proclaim, that we live, is His message, not mine. When our family showed up at Faith Covenant in almost to the day, 23 years ago, one of the things that had happened was we had moved from Princeton, Illinois, and I became chaplain at Windsor Park at that time. And our son, Kyle, had graduated from Princeton High School, was headed to Bethel. We were coming here. Michelle was going to be a junior at Wheaton North High School. As the service ended, within 2 to 3 minutes. Heather Reimer Snyder, Angela Robinson Broman, Melissa Waterman, I can't even think of Mark's or his last name right now, surrounded her and said, "We think you should come to youth group tonight." Well, of course, she accepted the offer. We had told her that, hey, wherever you land in a church, we will follow you. Michelle went to youth group that night, came home, and basically said in so many words, "Well, I'm going to Faith Covenant. I don't know about you guys." Those were gifts. Gifts looking back, gifts in the present. But we have had such an amazing privilege to serve Wheaton Warrenville South High School through the Tiger Breakfast. And the hundreds of students that have come and enjoy breakfast with no strings attached. Pretty hard to put strings in pancakes anyway, isn't it? But those gifts are multiplied over and over again, like Jesus taking the bread and the fish and feeding hungry people. That's our calling. And so, I invite you to listen, to hear God's call to serve. We're kind of in a quiet time in some ways here, but I know that there's a lot of things going on in the background that are gearing up for fall ministry. Let me suggest this. If you're asked to serve, say yes. Say yes for two reasons. One, it builds up and strengthens the body of Christ. It's a great thing. And secondly, we do this not for us, but for the glory and honor of God. So the last thing I want to suggest is that renewal gives us the why. So why? Why should we pray? Why should we love? Why should we care? Why should we serve? Because God has been generous towards us. He invites us to be generous to others. Peter reminds us of our ultimate mission, the purpose to which we have been called, equipped, and sent. And it's very fitting that he ends with this doxology, isn't it? A brief, enlivened hymn of praise to God. We are to do all these things, live this way as strangers in a strange world, put up with unfair treatment, by others and abide with one another in loving unity, so that God in all things may be glorified. When we keep this ultimate objective at the forefront of our minds and hearts, really, little else in this life matters. And everything falls into place, doesn't it? There are times where it may not make sense. There are times when life will be hard and not easy. But we can step back and confess our confidence in God alone, that He will be glorified through each event and in every circumstance. When that happens, we can leave the results of our work, our efforts, with Him, to trust Him for strength that we need to continue. For seeking God's glory in all things is a difficult assignment in what I would call a spiritual battlefield of this present world. But when we look forward to the specific hope of Christ's return, when we know that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess on the earth, above the earth, under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, that makes all the difference, doesn't it? I want to invite you, in your mind's eye and your heart, to join little Johnny today in standing in the offering plate to give yourself wholly to what God has for you, to love others, to see God receive glory through time, talent, treasure. If you want an easy way to remember, think these four things: pray, love, care, serve. And friends, does that describe our life at Faith Covenant Church? It does. It's real. As we close today, we are going to sing together a song as a prayer. A song that we have sung at times before. And the song is called "We Are an Offering." And so, let's sing together.